Now, if you would like, I would love to answer questions. If you want to, in Texas, I won't laugh even and say shoot.
You don't want to say shoot.
No, I didn't. And I was moving. You saw it. I was moving.
And that has nothing to do with our merit. It's just the Creator's kindness to us. But our merit of seeking Him brings us into a close relationship. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Because the fact that He loves us, that's the foundation. Based on that, now we can build. But what we're going to build, that's going to be a result of our good deeds and goodwill that we're going to keep on growing. But in the basic, first of all, we need to come out from that understanding that He loves us no matter what. When He chose Am Israel to be His nation, when we were in Egypt, when we were under 49 gates of contamination, not in the days of King Shlomo, when we were all holy and keeping Torah mitzvot, and we had the temple and everything was wonderful. Not in those days He chose us. He chose us when we were broken and poor and humble. So our lackings and our difficulties are actually bringing us to that understanding that He exists.
And creating a sweetness in relationship.
Yes, because of the humility. When a person is arrogant, he cannot feel no pleasant in being close to Hashem. Only when he's humble, only when he's ready to learn, only then he can start that process of development and real pleasure and joy and satisfaction in life.
I have often wondered, say there's a family, and one or two people in the family choose to accept Hashem and Torah. The other ones choose to stay where they are. I've often wondered what it is and those people that choose to accept, that's different. And after hearing what you're saying, I'm wondering if it's humility. What is it?
I will tell you what did happen to me with that thing. I have two elder brothers, and they haven't chose that path yet. I still have hope. You can pray. And once I asked my rabbi that question. I asked him, how can it be that we are enjoying so much wisdom and feeling so close to the Creator when I know that my brothers, they have qualities that are much greater than mine. I know about my brothers that they have things inside of them that I'm not better than them for sure. And it was very hard for me. So I asked my rabbi. So he told me, it's written that the righteous people, first of all, they're helping the ones that are in the worst condition. Like a doctor. If he's coming to an emergency situation and there are a few wounded people, first of all, they're going to jump and try to take care of the ones that are about to jump off the roof, killing themselves, dying from their wounds. When we're going to look at ourselves, in that moment before of that first clarification, we were in a very bad situation. And sometimes we were not even aware to how bad we were. So God chose the ones that were not able to hold on in that world of lie for a longer time. And He rescued us. And He chose the ones that also have the ability to hand out the wisdom to the rest. So it's first of all, and that's actually the humiliation. That is actually being humble. To understand that God saved you because you couldn't suffer more. You couldn't survive without His help. If you understand that, so you understand faith, that He is the one that gives you life and helps you and builds you, and you understand the message from it, the Musar Eskel, the conclusion is to go and to give help hand to the rest of the ones that are still waiting. Everyone are, like we said, everyone are not worthy. Exactly the same. Everyone are worthy. Everyone are worthy. If he woke us from complete nothing, complete darkness, so everyone are worthy. So he gonna wake up everyone. And we need to remember that. Not to think that we're better than no one. We're not. He chosen us out of his loving kindness. So we're gonna help him to reveal his loving kindness to everyone, with no difference.
So many people are coming to wake up. I mean, it's the scales are really, really high. And for myself, I've heard that the people that wake up, when Moshe received the Torah and was given it to the people, all nations were there. They were all there, and you said it yourself, we were all there. And everyone said no, except for Israel. What about the individuals, the ones who were there, because it was past, present, and future souls that were there? And personally speaking, I was one of the presents probably, and I individually accepted myself. The journey was hard. I mean, I had to sacrifice a lot. But I ask, because I have confusion as to, are we old souls, are we new souls, are we tikkun souls? What are, you know, that's what I'm kind of still struggling myself.
So, first of all, it's written that in that time, even the souls that were not in bodies, in physical bodies in that generation, they came down from heaven to receive the Torah. So, all souls of Am Yisrael, the complete soul of Am Yisrael, were there. We were there even if we were not in a physical body in a lifetime over their physical. That's one thing, the souls of Israel. The thing is that the unity that was between us in that generation, that was the tool, that was the power that brought us to that ability to receive the Torah. We were standing ke'ish echad belev echad, as one person with one heart. Our unity was the power that brought us all to that ability to receive the wisdom from the Creator. So the thing today that we need to do is only that, to work on our unity, to work on our love, on our free love. And for sure that we're, every person today when he's reaching 30, he feels 70. People that are 70, lucky ones that are 70 in this generation, they feel like they're 240, 300 years already on this planet. It's right? I'm not, for sure, for sure. Rod can testify on that. So the thing is that we are ancient souls. We are very ancient. I know that it's written, I don't know those things, but it's written that there are no new souls coming down to this world, but it's written, there is another place that it's written that there are souls, unique souls that are new, but they're actually somehow not belong to this world. It's like just like angels that are coming to help us. So this is how we can meet new souls once in a while. But generally, all of the souls are souls that already came in lifetimes and they are here for tikkun. They need to fix something. The wisdom is to know what you need to fix and not what you want to fix. Because sometimes it's very easy to want to fix the Torah, to sit all day long in the Beit Midrash and to wear clothes of Avrech and to be honorable. It's very easy to want to fix, you know, with in plus. It's very easy to want to fix when you have. But sometimes the Creator, he wants you to fix in things that are painful, things that you don't really want to deal with them. But that's your real tikkun. That's why you've been sent to this world, to deal. Sometimes the rejection from purity, from the holy zone, from Kedusha, this is what that brings the person to humility and attach him to the Creator. Sometimes not the success of being pure, just the humiliation of being far and impure is bringing you closer to the Creator than succeeding and growing and getting wiser. We don't like to admit that, but the sorrow and grief and troubles that we had in our life, brought us much further, closer to the Creator than the success and the wonderful moments that we had. All of us, I believe, are going to agree on that. Yes. No? Your turn. You know everything?
No, I
don't. Okay, great. I want to learn from you. Yes, please. Okay, I will tell you. First of all, it's a blessing. It's a blessing for a long life, because it's not a small mission. The thing is that the wives are the souls of the husbands. So when the person is disconnected from his spiritual being, so he cannot understand his wife. When he is still struggling with physical lusts and desires and conflicts, so he cannot understand the soul and the spirit of his wife. But when he is starting to work on that, to sacrifice his comfort and his desires and his lusts, and he's fighting with himself to bring out the good qualities of his soul, to be kind, to be sensitive, to listen, to care, to love, to be able to apologize and to honor. When he's doing that, he can start recognizing the light of his own soul, and he's going to understand his wife. The wife of the husband is a mirror for him, to help him to fix himself. It doesn't mean that she needs for the women to be hard on the men and to rebuke them and to... No. You can be kind. You can do it in a soft way, in a wise way, in a nice way, in an honorable way, as much as you can. But the truth is that women are the spiritual side of the couple. She is the soul. It's written that in the future to come, righteous people will sit and their crowns going to be on their heads. Crown is a symbol for the soul. So, and Isha, the woman, she is Ateret Bala, she is the crown of her husband. So she is the spiritual side. Even that sometimes in the house, in houses, you can see that the husband, he's the one that is pushing toward Kedusha, and he's got the desire to learn Torah, and he wants to keep mitzvot, and he's the one that wants and wants and wants. If he will be sensitive, he will see that his wife is much closer than him to the Creator. And that she, with her simplicity, with her honesty, with her modesty, not dressing modestly, long skirts and long sleeves, no, inner modesty, good midot. She's closer to Hashem than him, even if he's learning 26 hours a day Torah. So the search and the success of that search is an inner search of finding the truth from inside. This is why we need to love the rebuke and to listen to the lesson, to listen what she is telling me. It's written that Hashem said to Avraham, Kol asher tomar elecha Sarah ishtecha shema bekola. Everything that your wife Sarah is going to tell you, you need to listen to her voice. People mistake to interpret that verse as you need to follow the advice of your wife. You need to do what your wife commands you. That's not the meaning of the verse. Avraham been told, Hashem told him, listen to her voice. Means to her intention. Sometimes she can scream at you and tell you, I hate you. And while she is saying, I hate you, she actually means to tell you, you are the only one I love. You are the only one I trust. You are the only one I have in my life. Why you're not looking at me? Why you don't care about me? And she phrased it in that short, just for you to understand, I hate you. Okay, so you didn't get the message. Okay, I understand. A little bit more classes, and it's all going to be okay. Need to listen to her voice, what she really means from inside. The Shalom Bayit, Gadolo Shalom, peace between the couple, this is the highest, highest, highest thing in Avodat Hashem. If you have two choices, to learn Torah, to go to pray in a minyan, to do anything for Hashem Yitbarach, and for that you need to leave your wife behind, don't do that. I'm signing, Dror Moshe Kasuto, I'm signing for you. You're exempt from those kind of Torah mitzvot and leave your wife behind. Everything that's going to cause separation between you and your wife, I'm talking about reality, not about imaginations. We need to have a lot of clarification in those things. We need to learn a lot. But if really you drop your wife for something else, you're wrong. It's a mistake. No matter how people going to honor you, no matter how much people going to respect you, no matter how many people going to idolize you, if you forgot your wife, you messed up. You forgot your soul. You went with your body to do something physical, and you forgot your neshama. It's not the right way. Yes? Now people are afraid to ask. I got it. Okay. Yes, please.
What about for the women? What can we do to help our husbands?
Okay. Okay. So, first of all, for women, it's to understand that husbands, even women, have that desire to be saved, to be redeemed, to receive help, to be saved. The knight on the white horse that's going to come and save her and going to help her. It's a good thing, but wake up. Okay? Reality, your husband, he's got his lackings. He's struggling also. He also needs help. So for both sides, friendship and awake conversation and a real relationship that based on honor and on conversation, talking, even when it's hard, even when you need to close your mouth and to listen when he's saying and when you're saying, in both sides it goes friendship. That's the secret of relationship. Long conversations into the nights, during work, after work, taking vacations, going, talking, spending time together, walking and talking, sharing, writing letters to each other. It's the only way to communicate. There is no way to understand and to connect more without conversation. So to try to create a conversation, that I think is the best advice for women. It's also easy for you. You know, you like to talk. Yes, please.
Is there some, I know that we're all individual, but is there something that you would say that everybody should all focus on collectively?
Yes. So, me myself, I see myself as a soldier, as a warrior on that topic, that I'm trying to convince people that God loves you, that God loves people. Because there are a lot of people that claims to have faith, and their faith is not real faith. It's just fear from punishment. And this is something horrible. This is the destruction that religion caused to human race, to the people. The real faith is that God, He loves and He's with you. And I am trying all of the time to fight against those people that are trying to force and to claim any kind of religion on other people and faith on other people. So to fight for justice, to fight for you know, revealing love and kindness, I wish to have more soldiers fighting by my side and doing things that like that I'm doing, you know. We cannot leave things quiet. If somewhere we know that a woman been hurt, been abused, a child been hurt, been abused, there is a person that is stealing property, there is a liar, that we have to fight against that. We're not allowed to keep it quiet. Even if you're going to lose your job, even if you're going to lose your family, even if you're going to fight with your husband, even if I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said before, I'd rather to die knowing that I was fighting for the truth than to live my life as a liar. That I let another woman being hurt, that I let another brother fall to the depths of hell and not trying to reach out to him. So to appoint yourself to be that one that's going to do as much as you can. We need to do it. All of us need to do it, you know. So it's as an individual, but all together to create a revolution in the world, to reveal kindness, to reveal good, and to fight for that, to give our lives to that. I would vote for you. Yes, okay. For sure.
So I was reminded this week that Hashem is a minimal kingdom. He's our father and our king. And I'm very much drawn to the teachings of Avinu. But how do we maintain a healthy relationship of serving Hashem as our king through the mitzvot without it being, you know, a fearful thing? It's more that he's our king.
So I have a different explanation on the concept that calls Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Shamayim, fear from heaven. I think that it's written in the Gemara, in Masechet Chagiga, the Gemara is explaining over there about the sacrifice that calls Korban Mitzvat HaReiyah, that you need to see God, and over there it's written Yireh Yireh, that to be afraid of God means to be seen by God, and then you're afraid from Him, fear from heaven, because you know He's checking you, that He's looking at you. It's coming at the same time that you see Him. Means, if you believe in Him, when you see that He's in front of you, so then you can have Him as someone that you have fear from Him, that you want to respect, that you honor. So I would work first of all on that relationship from the side of building my side of the job, of trying to see Him as much as I can. Lir'ot, to see, to recognize Him in my life, and to understand that He's beyond, that He's above, that He's powerful, that He's got all of the powers. And then if I'm going to see Him, that fear from heaven going to come down on me and going to dress me. And I will be afraid not to see Him, but I'm not going to do it out of physical fear and stress that is a horrible enemy to our Avodat Hashem. We're not supposed to be afraid of Him. We need to have Yirat HaKavod, to want to honor Him with all of our hearts and not to want to disappoint Him or whatever, but not as fears and anxieties. And so I would choose that way of building myself as a believer, as a man of faith, and by doing that to try to respect Him more and to appreciate His greatness beyond what that I am today. Thank you. Yes, please.
In one of the questions, you talk about free choice. In the past, we don't have free choice, only in this moment we do. And we're not allowed to look at our past choices and be regretful or anything. So whenever we're placed in a situation and we choose in that moment with our free choice, then we're not allowed to look back on the decisions that we made as something bad. But maybe as we were placed in that situation because God knew what we would choose.
Yes. So.
Just like, because, you know, my past and everything, the decisions that I've made. So I can't look back on those as bad decisions, but it's something that brought me to a position that God can use me.
You can recognize them as a bad decision. You for sure can look at them and say, I don't want to choose things like that ever again, and I not recommend other people to follow those ways also. But you need to have a certain dividing between your past to your spiritual level of today and from your hopes from the future. Means you need to understand that your past is not holding you back from achievements in the present and in the future. Your past is a different story. You can learn conclusions, you can understand things, you can look at it, but don't chase yourself for today because of things that you've done in the past. If there is something from the past that is bothering you, stop your day for a minute, for less than a minute, for 30 seconds, and say to the Creator, Father in heaven, I regret on that mistake. Give me the power not to fall to that trap ever again. Heal me. Give me the power to be beyond those kind of strugglings of fears that brought me to sin. Help me not to fall to those kinds of failures ever again. And that's it. That's how you fixed that experience. And from now on, you're a new person. And that's how you need to look at yourself. Because the Creator is renewing the creation in every moment. Bechol et mechadesh tamid ma'aseh bereshit. He's renewing the creation in every moment. You're a new creation. You're a new creation. You're not based on your past. It's a miracle thing. That's a wonderful thing that Hashem is doing to create you as you were before. But He is creating you now as you were before. As you know, you look the same. And that wall, Hashem is remaking it again, now, and now, and now, and now, again. Even though that for us, it's the same wall that we built a few years ago. We don't remember, we were building it together. No. Hashem is keeping it existing and recreating it every moment. So you as a person needs to know that you are a new creation. And every morning you're reborn, and every morning, every moment of your life, God is recreating you. And this is why you need to understand, I am serving Him from now and on. And on my past, if there is something I need to do tshuva, to confess on, to fix, if I need to apologize to someone that I hurt him, I'm going to do that and I'm going to move on. Because God wants me to move on. God wants me to stand up on my legs and to restart and to reborn. And to do good with my life and not to chase myself on my past. Okay, thank you very much. I really appreciate your patience for me to finish sharing and talking about my amazing experience of finding Hashem Yitbarach. I want to ask you as partners, as brothers, please help us. Please. Help us to reach out to millions of people. Today, the Emuna channel, our website, with all of what that we're doing in social media, we're reaching to more than 25,000 different people every month. And you, I'm sorry to say, you know how lucky the people that are meeting us online. You know how lucky are the people that can meet God, that can meet the real wisdom of heaven. So please, be partners with us and help us. We need your help. We need your support. We need, I'm saying it clearly, God is helping us based on the budget that we have. We opened the center in Jerusalem. Through that center, we're working. My dream for now, I have other dreams for the future, but my dream for now is to open a center in the United States. I can work here 24/7. Yes, I'm a Haredi Jew. 24/7. I'm teaching in Batei Knesset. Shabbos morning, I was teaching in a Persian shul in Los Angeles. At night, in an Ashkenazi shul. I'm always on the move. I need your help. Each and every one of you that can help us in one-time donation, and better than that, even if it's a small amount, with a monthly donation, you can never understand how much you can help and how much you are saving lives of people. In every class that I'm doing, I meet people that are coming to me and they tell me, you don't know how many times you saved my life. Here now in the audience, there are at least three that said it. Maybe more. That said, you saved my life, and it's not me. I am that channel for people to meet the Creator, to bring them into your lives, into your friends, into your family's life, into all of the people's life. So just help me to help everyone. And Mamash, I'm asking for your help. Try to do as much as you can. A person will never gonna be poor from charity. God gonna bless you many, many times more. I thank you very, very much. We have papers for the ones that wants to sign up for monthly donations. The ones that wants to do it online are also more than welcome. I'm praying for each and every one of you. I'm blessing you from the bottom of my heart that you're going to succeed and going to grow and going to achieve huge, amazing, spiritual and physical, wonderful gifts from heaven. Amazing, inspiring achievements that you're all going to grow and succeed, going to live inspiring, amazing life. Amen. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Rav, first of all, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've really enjoyed it. I've had this amazing journey of my own, and you've been a part of that journey as well. I've watched you religiously for a long time, and I always used to say, man, if I could just get this guy to come over here, and more so wishing that I could go over there and hang out.
We need to remember always what the Lubavitcher Rebbe said. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said, the doctor is going to the place that there are sick people that needs help.
Right.
So as long as all of Am Yisrael are still in the exile, and as long as there are people that need to learn from us, we have a mission to do. This is why I'm thinking, even me, that I have my house in Jerusalem and I live in a wonderful neighborhood, and I'm thinking about taking my family to a long journey to the United States because I see that there are so many people here that really needs me more than over there in Israel. Right. And we were talking about, I'm coming.
You can come be our rabbi. How about that?
He already shown me some properties.
That's right.
On the way to the field, everything.
That's right.
So Rod and I are thinking about doing something together to join the Emuna project and Nativ and to do something wide. And we have also Ira and his wife Lori, that probably most of you know also, and we're all working together. And thank God we have amazing things to do. So please give us a hand and help us, and we're going to reach the world, conquer the world with light of faith, light of Hashem.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.